Turn in your New King James Bibles, please, to Psalm 93. Psalm 93 will be our meditation today. We'll read that responsively. Again, out of the New King James Version. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Amen. Excuse me. Well, here in Psalm 93, we've got a nice short psalm. Pretty much just one thought in it, one idea expressed a couple different ways, but one that's worth meditating upon. This will be a fairly short meditation since we only have 5 verses to go through. But the subject matter is one that deserves a lot more time. Frankly, it deserves a lot more care than many today, even in the church, give it. So often when we think of God, we think of salvation, of course. That's quite prominent in most of our minds when we think about God. We think about, what we need, our daily provision. Those who have a better understanding of things look at the providence of God and how He makes things work. We think of Romans and how He works all things out for the good of those who love Him. But we don't think about the majesty and the glory of God isolated from what He does for us, what He can do to us. Too often we think of God's might, God's glory, when we need something. Now, it's altogether appropriate to do it at those times. And properly understood, we do always need something from God, so that's fine. But to worship the Father, to worship the Godhead, sometimes we need to stop and look at Him, apart from our needs, apart from ourselves. And that's what Psalm 93 is. It's a time to look at God. Not with our eyes, of course, since no man has seen the Father. And since we are not able to enter into the throne room at this time. But we get a picture of what we're looking at here in Psalm 93. It starts very simply with the phrase, "The Lord reigns." Jehovah reigns. Now, that means quite simply that God is king. He rules over the earth, over the entire creation. There's no question about, does He rule all the nations? He rules all of creation. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded Himself with strength. Surely the world is established so it cannot be moved. Now, we altogether underestimate or undervalue the strength of God, the majesty of our Lord. He is clothed with majesty. He has made the earth so that it cannot be moved, but the earth is merely His footstool. He has girded Himself with strength as well as with majesty. These are things that we're told that we really can't understand. How can we understand what it means that the earth cannot be moved and that the Lord is clothed with majesty and the strength that He has wrapped around Himself? Well, we'll look at those. Verse 2, "Your throne is established from of old, and You are from everlasting." Now, everything that you have ever seen or touched or dealt with or been influenced by in this world had a beginning. Everything of permanence that you can think of, that you've dealt with, there was a time when it wasn't there. And there will be a time when it's not there any longer. We look at the mountains and we think, look how strong and powerful that mountain is and how it stood there and stands there forever. Well, it wasn't always there, and it won't always be there. But we see here that the throne of God is established from old. It's always been there. Something that the dispensationalists talk about and other Christians talk about is when God establishes His rule over the earth. Well, I'm sorry. We see here that His throne is established from of old. It has always been there. He is from everlasting and will be for everlasting. So that is what it means to be clothed with majesty, to be the Lord who reigns, is to reign of all things forever, without beginning and without end. And we just can't wrap our minds around that. But it's a profitable thing to spend some time thinking about. Now, verse 3, the floods have lifted up, O Jehovah. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Now, any of you listening who are familiar with Hebrew poetry, which all of you here in this room and many listening are, since you've heard the Psalms read and expounded over and over and over, are familiar with the idea of the repetition to be found in the book of Psalms and in other Hebrew poetry. That when you say something several times in a slightly different way, it reinforces the image. And it brings a fullness to it that just saying it once really wouldn't be able to. Now, the floods, when we speak of the floods, we think of the oceans. And that is, you know, what our experience of floods would be. Be the Atlantic, the Pacific, all the different oceans that we have. Mighty rivers, if anybody's ever seen one of those. Anybody ever been in the surf or in a ship at sea during a storm? You understand what the floods can be. But the people of God at this time, the people of God who live in a culture and a mindset that's soaked in God's word, would also think of the flood that has overwhelmed the earth at the time of Noah. The flood that came in judgment, but also in grace. But the floods, however you want to look at it, the floods are a great strength. The seas, the rivers. And here we see that the floods have lifted up, O Jehovah. They've lifted up their voice. They lift up their waves. The power and the sound of the waters all testify to the might and power of God. And the rivers are contained by the land. And the land is contained by the other things that Jehovah has created. So we have here a third, fourth level thing that is overwhelming to us in might and power. And they all speak to the glory of God. Because Jehovah on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. And again, anybody that's ever been out on the ocean and seen mighty waves, or even in movies where you really don't get the feel of it, but seeing a storm at sea and what it'll do to what we consider even a mighty ship, will understand what this person's trying to get across. The noise of many waters, the mighty waves of the sea are a tremendous power. But Jehovah on high is mightier yet. He sits above the waves. Now, the last verse, your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. God's word is now contrasted to these seas and to the earth. The earth is eternal, the seas that are powerful, but the testimonies of God are very sure, and holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. The permanence of the Creationer is nothing compared to the permanence of God's word. And that's what this psalm finishes up with. The holiness of God and the promises of the covenant are what we need to focus on when we want to see something that's powerful, eternal, and mighty. Because Jehovah God sustains that. And again, as we see at the beginning of verse 1, the Lord reigns. So let's sing a psalm that's purely of praise to God. Not as people looking forward to the Messiah or looking back to it or anything of the sort, but just as creatures who are invited and commanded to bring praise to our God. So we'll sing Psalm 93. Hey.